Hello, this is Pastor Pete Beck III with LifeNet in Burlington, North Carolina. Welcome to today's podcast entitled, Is the Wrath of God Part of the Gospel? Most people know what fire and brimstone preaching is. The preacher focuses on God's wrath in an effort to motivate people to turn away from sin and accept God's provision of forgiveness. It is sometimes viewed as an attempt to scare people into the kingdom of God, and it can work extremely well with young children who are told that horrible persecution is coming in the last days, and the only way to escape it is to believe in Jesus. Amazingly, to me anyway, this is the kind of preaching many people prefer. They feel they have not really heard a good sermon unless they are lambasted by the preacher. In contrast, many modern preachers portray God as a merciful and kind purveyor of blessings who wants us to experience all the best that life has to offer without ever calling people to acknowledge and repent from their sins. We used to call this kind of preaching greasy grace. The general idea of God that results is that he is a kind of smiley face who doesn't get bent out of shape if we break his commandments. The only thing he really hates is intolerance. Churches who hear this kind of message are encouraged to embrace the latest trends of morality and lose touch with biblical standards. What exactly is the Bible's stance when it comes to sin? Is the wrath of God actually part of the gospel message? Or should it be ditched in favor of unqualified mercy? Jesus died as God's Lamb, taking upon himself the just penalty for our sins in order to offer forgiveness and reconciliation to God. This gift of God is freely given, however. It does come with strings attached. Jesus does not simply offer us a get-out-of-hell-free card with nothing required of us in return. He calls us to acknowledge his lordship over every area of our lives. Romans 10, 9 through 10. Humanity's root sin is rejection of God's right to rule over us as our Creator. It is only by acknowledging Jesus' lordship that we prove that we are serious and genuine about repentance. It is good to emphasize forgiveness in our presentation of the gospel as long as we include the necessity of repentance. The cross was necessary because God's wrath against sin is very real. If, as some suppose, God does not really care whether we sin or not, forgiveness has no real meaning. And the gospel has no impact. But if God's wrath against sin is real, and his judgment is actually waiting for us at the end of our lives, forgiveness becomes extremely meaningful. The Jewish leaders of Jesus' day utterly rejected his claim that he was their messianic king, descended from King David, the one about whom the scriptures spoke. Matthew 26, 63 through 68. They condemned the Lord of Lords to death, mocked and spat upon him, and had him nailed to a cross to die the horrendous and torturous death of a criminal. This was the sin for which Jerusalem was subsequently annihilated by the Romans in 70 AD. Just as Jesus warned would happen. Matthew 23, 37 through 39. After Jesus' resurrection and ascension, he poured out the Holy Spirit upon his disciples, empowering them to announce the good news that those who turn to Christ and acknowledge his lordship will be forgiven for their treachery. Many took advantage of this magnanimous offer and were saved. Others, however, turned their backs on God's offer of mercy. God's wrath awaited those who rejected Jesus' lordship. The same is true for us today. Will we accept Jesus as the Lord, the Messianic King of Israel, and the coming judge of all humanity? Or will we reject him and his rule just as the Jews did so long ago? If we acknowledge Jesus' lordship, we will be forgiven and restored to a right relationship with God, become part of God's family, and receive eternal life. If we refuse, however, God's wrath abides on us and awaits us. This is the clear teaching of Scripture. Jesus said, "He who believes in the Son of God has eternal life, but he who does not obey the Son will not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him." John 3:36, the New American Standard Bible. Therefore, it is altogether proper and necessary to impress on our hearers the certainty of their running headlong into God's wrath one day, unless they accept and submit to the one who absorbed that wrath for us on the cross. Paul wrote to the church at Thessalonica, "You turn to God from idols to serve a living and true God, and to await for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, that is Jesus, who rescues us from the wrath to come." That's 1 Thessalonians 1, 9 through 10, the New American Standard Bible. It is clear from this passage that Paul majored on the need for us to be saved from the coming wrath of God. Modern gospel preachers should do the same. Peter said that Jesus, quote, "ordered us to preach to the people and solemnly to testify that he is the one who has been appointed by God as judge of the living and the dead." End of quote. That's from Acts 10:42, the New American Standard Bible. Imagine that. Jesus emphasized and ordered that his disciples tell everyone that he is coming back as the judge. Jesus will judge us for how we lived our lives. Did we live in submission and obedience to him? Or did we, like so many others, reject his claims to lordship, throwing away our opportunity to be forgiven? How about you? Have you accepted or rejected God's offer of mercy? Have you surrendered your life to Jesus' rule? Or do you persist in trying to maintain self-rule, living independently from him? Have you made the choice that will enable you to encounter God's mercy at the last judgment? Or does God's wrath await you still? The choice is ours. Choose wisely. Here's a prayer you may wish to pray if you have decided that you would prefer to encounter God's mercy. Lord Jesus, I now realize that I have until now rejected your mercy. I have changed my mind and I ask you to forgive me for my rebellious ways. I acknowledge and surrender to your lordship over my life and all creation. Thank you for dying for me on the cross. Thank you that after you rose from the dead, you did not hold our sins against us, but offered us a chance to be reconciled to you and your Heavenly Father. I am grateful that I am now included as one of God's family. Thank you for eternal life. Thank you for sending your Spirit to live in and through me. Help me to be your disciple and tell others about this amazing good news. Amen.